Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on The Conversation, New Hampshire is over and we have a new president. Well, that's what so many people already are thinking, like they've already decided. I'll get into who won, who lost, and where do we go from here. There's some good stories going around and I'm going to get into those. And Bernie Sanders' wonderful free, free, free speech. Got to hear that and I'll talk about that. Also, North Korea testing long-range missiles that could hit the U.S. mainland, which you really need to know that is scary. Because most people are concerned about who's going to be on or off American Idol when there's almost World War III. Also, Valentine's Day will be here this Sunday. I'm going to give you my tips, tricks, and techniques so you can have a great Valentine's Day. And you should be doing it not just once a year. You should do it all the time. Me and my wife celebrate our anniversary every month. Also, Jose Mourinho is expected to be the new manager at Manchester United. My thoughts on that. That and much, much more. So join me for the conversation that you're a part of. Psalms 24. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. Kind of think about that today as you're going through your day today. It's kind of an encouraging word. And from the K-Love Morning Show. Check it out if you can get that radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's great. When nothing goes right, that radio station always is right. And it always just... You always hear the right song at the right time, and that's not the radio station. That's the man upstairs, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, where would we be? But wow, what a week. You know, the Super Bowl, I mean, I just got to get into that first off, because I'm telling you right now, after this Super Bowl halftime show, I don't know if I'll watch the Super Bowl again. Unless they do something, I mean, that's... I don't know. I don't get it, you know. Let's just have a lady on there that sings a song that's about black pride in terms of, you know, only Black Lives Matter. Let's sing a song that's anti-cop. I mean, if I was a cop in that area, I wouldn't have given her escort. Okay, fire me. I would not help that woman ain't no way. She had things, now this is the controversy, because she had two, like, straps on each side of her shoulders that crisscrossed that, to me, they were supposed to be representing, like, bullets. You know, like someone in, like, a, mm-hmm. But they aren't. And everyone goes, those aren't, because I had some black men that, those aren't bullets, whatever. I'm like, well, they're supposed to represent them.
That would have been a white person. That's exactly what they would have
said. Yeah, you would have said the same thing I'm saying if it was a white person. You know, it goes back to the hypocrisy. If that was the KKK out there doing stuff saying, white lives matter, everyone would be up in arms. Or even if Asian people did it, they'd be up in arms. But because it's Black Lives Matter, you know, like I got into it with one of my friends, and I'm really good friends with them. And I respect you, but what about the 404 blacks that are killed by other blacks? Do their lives not matter? But something's got to be done, you know. What happened to having a halftime show that was about seeing a band and playing music, not about pushing a political agenda? I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. And then the commercials to me, I'd have to watch some of them again, but I really wasn't, nothing really got me to, like, stand out. The best commercials, the last time I really saw good commercials was when they did a bunch of those Pepsi commercials where they made fun of Coke. Those were great. And then there was one, I want to try to find out which one it is. There was a company that sponsored a coffee company. Like, it was like
QuickBooks.
Yeah, they sponsored like a small business. It was like a coffee company, and I want to try that coffee. I think that was great that they did that. You know, that gives a small company a chance, you know. Because it seems like becoming harder and harder for a young business to make it in the U.S. because with all these rules and regulations, you know, the government's got to be in on everything. I mean, before too long, you're going to be told when you can and cannot flush your toilet. And they're going to have a sensor, and if after like 9 o'clock at night you flush your toilet, you're going to get fined. Huh? Welcome to America.
Civil war.
It is. I mean, that's we're on the verge of a civil war, and I can't wait till there is something that they go after that liberals hold dear. The problem we have, you know, it's like this seatbelt thing. Well, why should the government make you? You shouldn't have to be fined for not wearing a seatbelt. You should be smart enough to know you should wear a seatbelt. But if you don't want to, then you shouldn't have to. But then they'll say, oh, well, that law ain't good enough. Now we need to change the law. And they're just going to slowly change and adapt things, just like they're going to find a way to pass a gun law that's meaningless and unimportant. But then they're going to find one shooting to say, well, that law needs to be strengthened. We need to do this and we need to do that. The $4.1 trillion stimulus has a lot of gun control in it. You know, spending billions of dollars to go after and fight the violent crime. And I understand, I think it's great that there's some money in there to help some of the mental people, you know. It's a good thing. You know, it's going to be, oh, well, that's not good enough. We need to strengthen it. We need to, you know. What happened when there was... When Reagan got almost killed, shot at, okay, we need more guns. I've never heard of a case where when someone was being threatened and they carried a gun that it didn't help them. In every case where a good Samaritan is concealing and carrying a gun, it's always come to the benefit. And 9 times out of 10, and what you're trained is, okay, if you can avoid the situation, you do it. You try not to use your gun, okay? That's what they tell you in community stores. If you can try to get out of there, just let him go with the money. So what, he gets $200. Let him leave. It's these little bitty laws that are just going to... Well, that's not... You know, pretty soon, they're going to keep tacking on before this and that, and then before you know it, well, this little law that really meant nothing, now it's, well, heck. You know, that's what they do. They'll take something, if you don't like the law, and they want it passed, they'll keep changing it and keep altering it until it's basically the same law that you didn't want to have passed, but now you're going to pass it. Now you're going to support it, even though it's the same thing that you were against before. And that's where I'm leaving that, because, I mean, that's how this, I mean, the Super Bowl halftime show used to be, my favorite one was the one when the Bears went, and they had that guy with the jetpack flying around. It was cool. I mean, you got to see neat bands, and it was just exciting. You didn't, you know, it's sort of like I was babysitting for one of my good friends once, and oh, Lord. I mean, I really want kids. But then when you have to watch the Bubble Guppies, oh, gosh. Lord, help me. But in the front of the show, this is what you're going to learn on the Bubble Guppies today.
No, I couldn't handle Bubble Guppies.
I'm like, really? When I was a kid, what did I learn on Tom and Jerry? To beat the crap out of each other. But guess what? I was smart enough to realize that if I got hit like they did, I wouldn't come back from it. I wouldn't live. I mean, when we watched the Looney Tunes and you had the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and all that stuff, we were smart enough to watch the show, but not dumb enough to try it. Nowadays, kids would try that stuff. That's why they have on all these shows, do not try this at home, because there were people that actually tried the stuff on the show Jackass, and they got severely hurt. They said, you're not sending your videos trying to attempt this. You know, when they did the MTV show Jackass, they had they had firemen and medical people and experts there to supervise. And there were some things that, oh, I thought I was going to do this. They said, no, you do that, you'll die. We're going to shoot you here. We're going to do this. We're making it safer. You know, but kids didn't know. Well, let's try it. Let's sit there. And I guess kids actually put a bunch of stakes on him, attached to his body, and was like a human grill. You know, got on charcoal and got severely burned. And, you know, so, see, we were smart enough to see stuff like on cartoons, granted, but still, we didn't do it. You know, imagine if MacGyver was today. You'd have to have, like, warnings. Do not try all this stuff at home.
I'm just thinking about Revan Sharpton as VP.
I doubt it. I don't know. But, oh, yeah, as my wife is, because I guess there was talk that Bernie Sanders is taking, as I switch gears, Al Sharpton. Why doesn't he take Hillary Clinton? If he's really going to, you know, or vice versa. But then I know, but a lot of people, I know a lot of liberals that don't like Hillary at all, don't trust her. But you know, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, as these New Hampshire primaries over, as you know, Trump and Sanders won. And if you're wondering this, not many people know this, but Sanders and Hillary Clinton almost got the same amount of delegates. And here's why, because in New Hampshire, it goes by percentage of votes, not by winner takes all. Sanders got 60%. Hillary got like 38, almost 38%. And, you know, that's why it's 12-9. And those last 2%, they're still figuring that out. So that's why they were so close in the amount of delegates they got. And, you know, so many people are talking like, well, Trump's got it. You know, to me, it's too early.
Mm-hmm.
Way too early. I still couldn't tell you who I was voting for. Now, I don't know what would happen if someone said, okay, Trump, let's all make a deal. I want you to accept the nomination for president, and I'll be your vice president, and have Trump and Cruz. I mean, okay, and let's just start attacking. Let's just go after. But I mean, it's hard. How do you educate people that are uneducated? How do you educate people that are congratulating Kim Jong-un that's developing weapons that will hit the U.S. and kill us? Congratulations. I mean, seriously, how do you educate people like that? And Bernie Sanders and his free speech. Everything's going to be free. Everything, you know, free public college, free private college, free everything, free healthcare, free all of this. Remember that lady? Where was that lady? Hold on, let me get my notes. From 10/30/2008 from Florida, I took my kids out of school to go to an Obama rally. I mean, this is just the most exciting day of my life. I never thought this day would come. You know, as long as I have Obama, he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about putting gas in my car, paying for my mortgage and my bills. As long as I have him and I take care of him, he'll take care of me. And where was she at 4 years later? My mortgage is more expensive. My gas was expensive. My health care is more than it was. All my bills have gone up. My pay hasn't increased. It's gotten worse, not better. And that was someone that was supporting all this free. That's what's going to happen. All these people are going to, yeah. Well, we're going to get all this stuff for free. And then when they realize where's the money coming from, and then when everything's, I was making $9 an hour, and I was getting more in my paycheck than I am now at $13 an hour. Wait a minute, what's going on here? And they're just going to be like, whoa. What? And they're going to, whoops. I mean, some of these college kids are saying things that if I heard Bernie Sanders when I was in sixth grade, I'd been like, wait a minute. Where's this?
Make sense.
Yeah, it don't make sense. I don't get it.
Me neither. 2 + 2 = 4.
4. Yeah. It's scary. And that's, so many people act like this, the election's over. We're only at the New Hampshire primaries. We haven't even gone to Nevada. We haven't even gone to South Carolina. Nothing. But how do you go after these kids that don't really know anything, that don't really follow anything, that go Sanders, yay, and they don't know.
They're getting free stuff.
Yeah, that they just...
That's it. They don't care about nothing else. They're getting free stuff.
Yeah, and I look at it where, yeah, I think it is one of those things where when you look into it, they don't know. All they know is, you know, like that lady, I'm getting Obama phone. I got a phone. You know, we keep Obama president. You know, I'm getting a phone. Romney, he sucks. I got a phone. Everyone, if you're on food stamps, you're on welfare, you got a phone. You got all this free stuff. Well, what do you
can't
think?
Can't answer the question why Romney sucks, but Romney sucks.
Yeah, they don't know. Okay, who's his running mate? Who's, you know, anything? What about Mitt Romney? What about his policies?
He sucks.
Yep, they don't know anything. They don't care. Because, see, Mitt Romney is not about free stuff. I'm going to read you a quote that I got today, and this is the truth. This is the truth. Would Democrats nominate Kennedy if he were running in 2016? My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
That's not what you're supposed to ask.
Oh, you're supposed to ask, what can the presidential candidate give me? You got to realize, most of these people, they don't, where's this money coming from? What do you mean? I'm getting it from Obama. Where's he getting the money? I don't know, but he's getting it. You know, if you were to say, I guarantee you, you could go up to one of those people, 90% of the liberals, and say, well, Bernie Sanders wants to put a thing where he's going to have a mint in your house where you can print your own money, so if you run out, you can get more. They'd probably believe it. All right, cool.
And they would love it.
And they would love it. They would. Hallelujah.
About time.
That's what's scary with this country. You know, one of the most scariest things is ignorance. People that don't have a clue. You know, it's kind of like Glenn Beck said this one time, and I have to agree with him, you know. Those chickens would be mighty careful if they knew what happened at the end of the feeding. You know, all those chickens at Purdue or Tyson, if they knew what was, yeah, they're getting free food, but what do you think happens at the end? If they knew what was happening at the end, them getting put on a truck and then shipped to a slaughterhouse, they'd probably be less worried about getting the free food and more about trying to get out of the slaughter, out of the house, out of the hen house where they're all being crammed in. You know, if all these people really knew what was coming with this free stuff, yeah, with all this free stuff, if they really knew what was coming, they wouldn't be too quick to get the free stuff. They'd be like, wait a minute, whoa, Nelly. And that's where we're at.
What's the problem is we have this entitlement generation who think,
Things are entitled.
They don't have to work.
Yep.
They don't want to work. Why should they have to work? They've been handed everything all their lives. So why should they work? And why doesn't the world work that way? They don't get it.
Yep.
I would have loved for them to be raised by my father, who worked every day that he could.
Amen.
Because he knew what it was to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yep. You earn the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, sorry, that's my little rant.
Yeah, but I mean, it's true. People don't, the problem you have is you have a bunch of, and I'm not racist. I am the most unracist person you're going to find, but when you have all these black people that think they're owed stuff because, well, go back 4 generations and they're slaves.
Five or six generations
probably.
Now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, get over yourself.
You know, it's like, okay, you had nothing to do with it, okay?
You were not my slave.
Do I support slavery? No. That's part of our history. You can't get rid of it. You either accept what happened in the past and move forward and on, or you don't. You know, the problem is, what do they always tell you? The past does not equal the future. And they tell you, I'm never going to have a successful relationship if I keep dwelling on things that I did wrong in my past. You know, if you keep dwelling on, well, you know, we're owed all this because, you know, because someone in your family might have been a slave. If you were in the North, you weren't a slave. It didn't say you were treated like a king, but, you know, I don't get it. Because my ancestors were coal miners, and they were treated like dirt.
They were slaves to the company.
Yeah, they were slaves to the coal mining company. And guess what? I'm not sitting there saying, oh, because my ancestors were coal miners, and they were, I'm owed all this stuff. You know what? We learned from it. That's why we have rights for workers.
Amen. We changed.
We changed.
That didn't have a pity party.
Yep. And that's what's going on. And that's what's going on, you know, because, like, cause some people ask me all the time, you know, Kyle, I just try to educate people. I don't care if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you do, I'd be more than happy to help you and say, okay, this is what you, because someone did that to me. When I wasn't doing so well and I wasn't perfect and I was having some issues and I was on a spiraling downward path, I kept seeing the show over and over. I'm like, it's different people. But, like, the cast is the same. And I'm like, something just rung true to me with the show. And I finally, at, like, 11 o'clock one night, I called up. And, yeah, my name's Jason with the 700 Club. How can I help you? I'm like, yeah, I want to donate to the truck or whatever. And he goes, oh, that's not really what we do. Oh, we do some of that, but that's not really what we do. But, you know, it's just $20 a month, 60 cents a day, and you're going to help so many people. And I wanted to know why he wanted to jump through that phone, grab me, pull me through that phone, and just give me the greatest hug and tell me he loved me and he would do anything for me. And I didn't even know the man. And, you know, and that's how this cycle works. You know, when, you know, you help other people, and that's what I try to do. I try to educate people. So that people know what's going on, you know, and say, hey, where do you think this free stuff's coming from? Where do you, so that if you're going to vote Sanders, great, but you know what you're standing for, you know what you're voting for.
And if someone has 49,000, I don't want to give my money away to Sanders. It's the same.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I don't either. Because it's not going to be his money he's going to be giving out. But imagine if Hillary and Sanders were on the same ticket. I don't think that would happen. I don't think that would happen because, I mean, there's a lot of liberals that don't want Hillary in the first place. And they're, I think before the next, I think they're really, really soon. They have by Tuesday, I think they have to have the final lot of emails. They're demanding them and all this stuff. And which they're going to try to find some excuses, you know, whatever. But it's just, I don't know.
She'll get pardoned by whoever.
Yep. I just look.
If it's Bernie Sanders, he'll get pardoned.
I guess I look at it like this, you know. I'd be in prison right now.
Oh, yeah, we would. We wouldn't even.
That's needed. It's a small explosion packed with tons of gamma rays. To where, oh, that's. Look at that little tiny thing. That's not going to do much. But if you knew what the gamma rays are doing, you would be very, 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 very scared. You know, it. So many kids are out of touch. I guess when I grew up, you had like four channels and you watched whatever your parents watched. So you knew what was going on around the world. Now there's 500 channels. Kids are on their phone. They don't know anything. You know, it's just, and we're dang near on the brink of World War III. But I guess I look at it like this, because if North Korea was really going to do what I think they might do, because those people are scary, I mean, it's going to be at some of these countries that do what they claim they want to do, like Iran and stuff, they're not going to survive either. It's kind of like,
that's what I wonder if they even know, I thought.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull the pin out of this grenade and I'm going to hold up my hand. Well, you're going to die in the process. You may kill 20 people around you, but, you know, like they're going to be able to nuke several countries and survive, you know. Yeah, they were. Wow. What a program. But, I mean, it's, yep, I'm a doomsayer, you know, but no, I'm not. It's just, it's stuff that's really going on. That this is not, oh, you just watch Fox News. Okay, well, when the stuff that I'm talking about comes from North Korea's national television, I think you should be leaving it. Mm-hmm. Just a little. Just a little bit, but whatever. Yeah.
What do we know?
What do we know? You know, I mean, you know, that North Korean television, you know, they're just liars. Congratulations, Kim Jong-un, for lying about nuclear testing and all that hydrogen bomb stuff. I know you love us deep down. That's why you had a satellite over the Super Bowl. And that's been confirmed. Yeah. That's not, yeah. And this is not left or right. This is fact. This is, it's like a lot of the stories I'll talk about, I'll get stuff from the BBC. And this one guy goes, oh, that's, okay, so, yeah, of course, it's Fox News. I'm like, no, that's from the BBC. That has nothing to do with, because I'm an independent, you know, libertarian type conservative, you know, that doesn't really, that's more right than anything, not left. You know, people just assume everything I get is from Fox News. No, they lie about everything. I'm like, well, they're probably not 100% honest, but they're not, but like, they're 100% more honest than any other network. Mm-hmm. I mean, if MSNBC was to make up something, they're not going to sit there and, oh, yeah, we need to recount a story. I've seen videos side by side where this is the real video and this is the one that they showed on MSNBC. And they're like, it was back in like 2008 with the Tea Party people and there was a guy with a gun. Oh, these Tea Party racists and he has a gun. And the MSNBC one, it stops at a point and then shows the camera going up looking at the gun again. But if you see the whole video, it pans up to a black guy holding a gun. But they don't want to show that because that does not fit their agenda. It's like that one lady in St. Louis that when they had all these riots and stuff and all these Tea Party people came and, you know, we're going to get our haircuts here from now on. You know, we want to give back to this community. And she's like, well, you're a heck of a lot different than they show on TV. Got about 29 minutes left in the program, about halfway through, folks. And thank you all for tuning in. And you know, but it's just the truth. You know, we got to come together. That's one reason, the only thing I think I'm glad that a lot of people don't watch the news is because it cuts down, I think, on some of the racial divide that they try to push.
I think it helps. People know what they
think. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I think we're screwed either way. You know, but it's just, I don't know. I guess, like Melissa, I'm glad I grew up in the generation I did. Because I think I told, was it last week when I talked about, when I didn't realize this, but like when I was like in fourth grade, I made a costume and put swastikas all over it, and I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. And my dad sat down and goes, son, you had family that played dead for days in order to not be killed by people and taught me a history lesson. I'll never forget it. And that's what's so many people don't have that person that can talk about the history and what's going on. And if you went to most kids and said, you know, North Korea's, you know, testing EMPs, they'd probably like, oh, is that like an MP3? Wow,
they don't
cool.
know what it is.
They wouldn't have a clue. I would at least say, okay, North Korea EMP. Let me look that up to see what an EMP is, because North Korea and EMP, that doesn't sound good. I don't know what it is. I know what it is, but if I didn't, I would want to look it up to find out what it is, because I know how dangerous North Korea is.
Hey, we were taught that in school. They're not taught that in school.
No.
I don't believe it.
No, I don't think they are. Well, I mean, in our schools, there are teachers that have come out and said there's a month where they have to act like it's Sharia law and all this. And, you know, but when it comes to learning about Christianity for a month, oh, nope, can't do that. So, you know, that's just how it is. And enough about that little rant, because, you know, it's crazy. It is crazy. And moving forward, we got a $4.1 trillion budget that Obama is trying to pass and push. And in there is a lot of big gun legislation, and they want to spend tons of money, millions, like $200 million, I think, hiring all these people from the FBI to help try to curb gun violence. And also, at the same time, you know, I understand, yeah, and I understand that some of the money, there's going to have another lot of money to go towards mental health, and I understand that.
That I can get on.
Yeah, that I could get on board with. You know, but when they... When, okay, we need, because they almost passed it. It didn't pass at all, but they tried to make the penalties for marijuana in Indiana more severe, not less. Like Irvin Rosenfeld said, there's Ronald Reagan saying, you know, just say no. And he's getting 300 marijuana cigarettes every month free from the government. Look him up. Irvin Rosenfeld, My Medicine. It's a great book. It'll tell you, I always share that book, or that information about that book and that guy, and there's a news article to all these people that are like, marijuana should never be legal. And I'm like, well, here you go. That way they can see the hypocrisy. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And what they're going to do is, with all this stuff in this stimulus bill, who knows what all is in there, because there's $4.1 trillion, so who knows who's getting what.
You know, you got to pass it so you can read it.
Yep. Yep, you got to pass it to find out what's in it. But as you move forward with that, you know, what people don't realize is anything in there with gun, and there's probably a bunch of gun law. I could probably go to 90% of the gun stores in the United States and do something illegally because it was passed in a bill 20 years ago and no one even follows it, or it's outdated. Someone told me there's an actual website where it's like funny law, where it talks about like laws that are real that are like so dumb. Like, I know, like in Kentucky, I'm pretty sure it's in Kentucky, where it's illegal to have an ice cream cone in the back pocket because it was a way back in the day to lure horses away. Like in the 1800s, you put it in a cone in your back pocket and a horse would follow you. And it's technically illegal, but because I've been told actually it's illegal to have liquor shipped into Indiana, but I've done it many times. But one of my bosses told me that, oh, it's an old bootlegging law that no one even cares about anymore because now that alcohol is legal in Indiana, I don't care. But some, I've had other people say, well, if they found out it was liquor you were shipping or wine, they could literally arrest you. And also, who knows? Ah, wow. But it's just, but it's these stupid trillion-dollar bills, and the gun legislation in there is going to be such that if they, all they have to do is find one thing wrong, oh, we need to increase it, we need to make it more severe, because it's not working, you know? Even though, for what is it like now, since like 33, that Marijuana Stamp Tax Act was put into place that basically makes it, you have to have this stamp tax to actually own or cultivate it, and they'll never hand them out, so you know, there you go. You know, it's one of those. Out of, you know, it's not, no matter what they've spent, they've never been able to eradicate any cannabis, or any drug for that matter, but, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to, oh, well, we still got gun violence. Let's make these laws even tougher. Let's do this, and let's clamp down even more on the people that are legitimate, and the people that aren't are going to get away with it anyways because they're not going to follow the rules.
war on poverty, the war on drugs.
Yep. It's a war on everything. The war on humanity, the war on poverty, war on drugs, war on everything. And you know who loses in the end? You do. The person that tries to do it right. We need to end the war on poverty, so we need to have the government come in and help these people. Really? Because what happens is then you sit there and, well, the amount of money you have to make to qualify for this, I don't think, okay, like you'll get, it's a $650 a month rent on this program. It's a $750 rent normally, but you get it for $650 if you make under this much. Well, if you make this much or under, I don't think you should be paying that much for rent. And it's almost like a trap. And then they got you hooked because then, okay, then since you can only make this much and you run $650, then you have to get on this program. Before you know it, you're on 50 programs just to try to stay up. And it's a trap. I believe it's almost like a tobacco, you know. Because what government, what war on anything that the government has gone after has actually improved? Nothing.
One done any good?
It's not.
No good.
No good. You know, but.
What do we?
What do we know? You know, we're just.
We just live here.
Yeah, we just live here, and I just care about my country, and I want it back. Moving on, we got about 21 minutes left. Wow. I don't know if you heard about that story about that guy in Michigan that walks like 5 hours to work, and like 20. He was in Detroit and was walking like 21 miles to and 21 miles from work, and. I always, and I said this before, I always wondered, like, so, like, from where he worked, there was not one bus that was going anywhere in his direction, even, like, a mile or 2 miles, and he can get off and have at least 2 miles, you know, but, like, no one at work knew anyone or knew, or anyone there was driving in that direction, even for, like, 4 miles, but they had, like, three GoFundMe pages, and he got all this money and stuff, and he got a Ford Escort, and he goes, it's like me, it's simple on the outside, and it's durable on the inside, and all this stuff, and, you know, and he was interviewed recently, and he's like, you know, I'm still working, I want to, just because all of a sudden people decide to help me out doesn't mean I can't keep working and can't do for, you know, like, he wants to kind of give back and help others, and, you know, there you go, you know, it's like, but, like, he only got, like, what he got wouldn't last. It's not like he's going to be able to retire on, like, $300,000 at his age, you know. It's nice to see stuff like that, you know, people helping each other, you know. And I think it's a double-edged sword because, like, there's all these people that you see these videos with us and you wonder, like, well, okay, is this person helping this person to try to become celebrity and get, film me helping this homeless person and giving them all this stuff? You know, if it's an innocent bystander that's filming and doesn't, you know, but there's a lot of videos where, like, you see, like, somebody helping someone and all this stuff, or this person praying for someone or that, and that's great, you know, and I think we need more of that, but it's got to be done for the right reason, not to try to get celebrity, but try to say, hey, let's work together and let's help each other out and let's do this as, you know, we're humans. You know, we're not white, black. Yeah, we're not white, black, red, poor. You know, we're all in this together. You know, and that's a big thing. And as I move on, I want to get to a little quick story. Well, Philip Stevens is the public relations for a buddy of mine from New England Culinary Institute, and that's where I went to culinary school. It started in the 80s, and it's still going, and I went there in 97 and graduated in December 99. Well, May is when we actually had the ceremony, and I went during the winter because that's when it's 0 degrees for a high and minus 10 degrees for a low with 40-mile-an-hour wind chills. You're not going to want to be able to do anything but study. Not that you really have any time, because when there are classes that you would get up at 5:30, you would grab a shower, get dressed, put layers of clothes on with your chef coat and stuff, and your jacket, walk up to the cafeteria, go to the cafeteria for 7, have the breakfast at the cafeteria class that you work in at some point in the beginning, and you get your breakfast, you know, depending on what class you're in, and then you would eat and warm up, and then you'd put your stuff back on. You'd go to, you know, like the up to the Green Mountain building, and you'd go to class there, and you'd have class, let's say, from 8 till 5, or 5:30, and then 5:30 you would go to the cafeteria, and you would have dinner, and then you would get home like 7:15, then you would study till about 1 or 2 in the morning, then you had to get up at 5:30 again, and did that for 2 weeks, and then you had, you know, maybe another class, you know, like overnight bake shop, where it's like from 11 to 7, and I think it was 7 to 8 was when we had like the joint lecture class between the AM bake shop and the overnight bake shop. And then when it's over, you went home and went to bed, and then they did their class during the day. And, you know, so that school, NECI, is actually up for sale. One of the co-founders that was still there, Francis Voigt, actually left the school, and it was given to somebody, and he started running it, and now he's put it up for sale. And it doesn't mean it's the be-all end-all of the school, but it's just, hopefully we can get someone that's culinarily minded that has some money that really wants to turn it over. I mean, when you're talking like $30,000 for like 6 months, and then, you know, when you're talking like $50,000, $60,000 for school for 2 years, it's a lot of money. So it's just one of those things I wanted to toss in there. And it was a great place and lots of memories. And so you know, I keep in touch with a lot of people there, alumni and stuff, and, you know, I'm getting the word out, and they've got, like, a guy that's looking into it, that they got that's going to sell it, that's going to help sell it, and try to find it a good home, and, you know, because I want to keep it in Vermont, you know, we want to keep it there, we want to keep the, because we used to go to a co-op. Okay, here's $100 between all the students, or $50. You know, if there's anything you see you want to get to use, you know, at the co-op, and you could buy stuff and local things, and it was a great place. And it's always in my heart, man. It's been great. It's not easy. It's, you know, all these people, like, see the Food Network, and they think they want to be a chef, and it's, you know, okay, well, when they go to the place in Chicago or whatever, and they say, oh, you know, and this one chef, like I said before, he wrote the Tribune. He goes, I'm tired of all these bleeping people that watch the Food Network and then think they want to be a chef and get sticker shock when they realize I'm coming in at 6 or 7 in the morning and working until midnight, 7 days a week. You know, and wow. Up until the job I've had now, that's what I used to do, dang near. I'd be in about, when I ran Maize and American Grill and helped the owners, I was in about 7 in the morning, and I worked till about 11 o'clock every day. A day off was coming in without a uniform for 5 hours and doing inventory or ordering or something that I could actually have time to get done. But, you know, it's a great school, and it's going to find a good home and stuff. So enough said about that, you know. I'll keep you updated on that as it goes, and it still gives me some updates on that and different things. And I'm sure we'll probably have some meetings about that and where it's going and different things like that. So if y'all don't know, you ladies and gentlemen, Sunday is Valentine's Day. And guess what, folks? It doesn't have to be Sunday. It can be any day of the week. You know, I've had people literally come up and I wish I had a husband like you. I'm like, well, he should. I mean, if he really cares about you, he should show you, not to the point where it's like, okay, it's redundant, but that he cares about you and gives a crap about you, you know? And there's so many cool ideas I'm going to share and things you can do and some tricks and tips and techniques and different things, and my wife's going to hear some of them. And go to your local, like...
We've already celebrated our Valentine's Day. What you're...
Yep. What I did... Yeah, what I... I did something about 3 weeks ago, but... Like, okay, if you go to, like, we have a local grocery store called Marsh, started by Don Marsh. You can get a dozen roses for, like, $10 any time of the year. Around Valentine's Day, it's, like, $19 or $20. You can get 3 roses at Aldi's for, like, $4 almost year-round. You know, but I got pink, reddish, like a pinkish red and white streamers, and I put it throughout the house and around the lights and stuff, and you know, I did the banisters with it. I got some stuff on clearance that there, you know, some heart things that I hung in front of the bedroom door and around this one light, and I put like a net over the bedroom and put heart-shaped balloons above that, and I did all kinds of stuff with glitter in it, and just because she'd have no clue when I was doing that. I made a candlelight dinner. You know, anyone can, okay, it is, what is that? Oh, yeah, I expect something on 14th. If you do it, she won't expect it. But then I have dated people that would still expect something on the 14th and would go ballistic if you didn't, even though you did something like that. But they're ungrateful, you know. But also, one thing I want to let you be clear of, there's a lot of emails where they have, like, websites where you can send, like, a Hallmark card and stuff, and they're fake and they're scams. And basically, it's malware that will get on your computer. Or if you order chocolates or roses, you won't get anything sent. And your card might not get charged, but they'll get all your information and they'll take your card and they'll clean your account out. So just be aware about a lot of those emails. And if you have a question about an email, take whatever it says on there and look it up via your browser. Don't go to that link, because it may say Hallmark, but if you go to that link, it doesn't take you to the actual Hallmark store. It may take you to another, like a fake Hallmark that looks almost identical, but it will have malware and get all your information and done. But, you know, Sunday's Valentine's Day, and just, you know, just, you should do it all the time. I guess it just shocks me that so many people don't do it more often. And, you know, I mean, I hope it never ends that we celebrate monthly anniversaries, because that's something we do. And, like, call us crazy, but that's just, I guess it's like, now I understand where those people are, that this is my baby's 103rd day of birth and 104th day, and they count those days, you know. It's our 6-month anniversary, this is our 7th month, and, you know, but we do stuff like that, and that's, so, you know, I mean, how hard is it to get, I mean, it doesn't even have to be bought anything. You don't have to just get chocolate or flowers or whatever. You can actually, you know, hey, like when she's lying down, you know, if she's on her back or on her stomach, give her a massage. I mean, just basic stuff. I mean, you know, but that's so many people just don't, I don't know. I guess a relationship is what you make it, you know. If you want it to be successful, you can make it successful. If you don't want to be, then hey, you know, but not that I'm a relationship expert or anything, but that's just what I do, you know. I just, to me, it's like I love Molly. She's going to be 3 March 19th. And, you know, just, to me, it's almost fun.
That's her birthday.
Yeah, that's her.
Date,
well, her birthday is the 23rd, but that's when the party is. But, you know, it's one of those things for that. That's what's fun, doing stuff for her. Just like seeing her on Cloud 9 is great. Getting her a Mickey Mouse hat and she puts it on. You chink. It's a Minnie Mouse that, you know, and, like, wouldn't take it off. That just made my day, you know, and that's, you know, just doing stuff for my wife. That means that's just great, you know, seeing her on Cloud 9 and whatever. But I just wish more people would do that, you know. So. That's my rant on that, you know. Just do it. It's not hard, I mean. And... And some people go, well, 3 years ago, you didn't like Valentine's Day. Well, don't, because that's like the one time of year that I think people act like, okay, this is one time of year I got to do something for my wife, so I'm gonna call on Valentine's Day and see if I can get flowers delivered. That's my dad. And he tries to do that. I'm like, dude, is that, you know?
You're not gonna put in effort to a relationship. You shouldn't be in.
Yeah, if you ever saw the movie, it's the one before. It's the Love Dare movie. I can't think of the name of it.
Fireproof.
You know, he just, yeah, just give me, you know, whatever. I don't care. He didn't care. Like, just give me a little bitty flowers, whatever. Yeah, just, yeah. And, you know, and when he finally started to put, okay, let me get a bunch of flowers. Let me get some roses. Let me get some chocolates. Let me go do the dishes. Let me go do the errands for her. Let me, you know, let me vacuum for her so when she gets home, she can lie down. That's what me and my wife do. We go back and forth helping each other. You know? Mm-hmm. Wow, your wife must love it that you cook every day. I'm like, well, some days she gets home before I do and she cooks. There's nothing wrong with that.
I can.
Yeah. You know, we try to help each other out. And that's, you know, the relationship is a two people, not one. And I leave it with that. And if you have not heard, and I talked about last week, and it seems to be more and more and more the case, Manchester United looks like, after the end of the season, will be picking up Jose Mourinho on a 3-year deal worth £15.5 million a year. His agent says he's actually looking at trying to get £46.3 million per the 3-year deal. No, £46.5 million for the 3-year deal. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, Manchester United would have even thought twice about the Portuguese manager, you know, but I think I don't know. We'll have to see, because he's been up and down with Chelsea. There's years where he was great. Granted, he's their most successful manager. They've been up and they've been down.
But it's Chelsea.
It's Chelsea. I think they really probably should have went with Pepe Guardiola, but if they were going to get, but I don't know if the David, I don't know if the Van Gaal thing is a decision that, you know, hey, I want to be with my family, or if it's a, hey, the club's 50-50, it's mediocre. You know, if he's kind of, hey, we're going to let you at the end of the season bow out, and we're not going to fire you, but, you know, you're not, you know, if you're going to try to stay, because it kind of looks like he wants to leave, and I don't know if it's of his own doing or whatever, but, you know, the 53-year-old Portuguese manager is expected to take over. He told on February 9th some of his close friends that he's basically, you know, I'm going to be back in the Premier League very soon. So, and I think hopefully it's going to be a good thing. You know, I mean, we got to go forward. But then as you go forward, you also got to say, okay, what happens to Ryan Giggs? Is he going to stay under leadership and work with Jose Mourinho and learn even more? Or is it going to get to the point where, hey, bye-bye? I don't know. I think he'll stay and learn, and I think he deserves a shot at some point. Maybe it's not now, but even Louis Van Gaal said that, you know, he will make a great manager someday. He didn't say right now he'll make a great manager. So, you know. And you wonder if one of these smaller clubs offered him, you know, hey, we want to give you a shot. Would he take it? Would he? I don't know. I just think he at some point deserves for his whole career being at Manchester United, being in Manchester United at some form. And I think he will. So I'm not saying that he's never going to be there, but I do think that, you know, Ryan Giggs will be in managerial form at some point in United's career before it's over. But also with Jose Mourinho, there's talk that Fellaini and Juan Mata will be let go. Because they've done some at Purdue, but they, I mean, Purdue, why am I thinking Purdue? That's because Morgan Burke's going to be retiring. Yay, hopefully we'll get a good director in there that's going to change the university so we have more than just a volleyball team to be proud of. But going back, you know, they really haven't done that much. And I guess, you know, he wants to bring in some players that are going to do something that are going to contribute.
Can you get rid of Fellaini, he's a guy who knows how to foul and not get caught?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, he's done a lot. He can get 25 fouls and not even get flagged with a yellow card, let alone a red card, when he probably should have been thrown out of the game. I mean, I don't know. I like him for that, but, you know. You know, well, when we tied 1-1 with Chelsea, and Saturday we play Sunderland, and, you know, we're fifth in the table at 41 points, you know, and first is 53 points. So it's one of those things where it's about 90 seconds left in the program, folks, and I think it's up in the air. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Because I never would have thought in a million years they would consider Jose Mourinho, but hey, we're taking him. It's a whole new chapter in a crazy storybook that, wow, I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, I don't know. I mean, but who would have ever thought Obama would have a second term? 60 seconds left, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening. I love y'all, and it's just, I think it's going to be an interesting thing, because he's not a bad manager. I'm not going to say that, but I just never would have thought him with Man United, and so it's just going to be interesting to see what happens and who he brings on and who he lets go, and, you know, I think Van Gaal's done very good. His style of play is not that prominent at English football, you know. So I'm going to leave it there, folks. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Remember, Sunday is Valentine's Day. Tell your wife or your girlfriend you love her. Until next week, goodbye. God bless. Goodbye.